It's an NBA Minute on the Gary Sharp Show. And we get off the air yesterday, and the NBA decides they want to set the world on fire. Couldn't even finish my lunch. My phone was blowing up so much. It was ridiculous. But the huge blockbuster trade that happened yesterday, and now we're in the aftermath. Let's look at poor Landry Shamet. When Jimmy Butler was traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, he had to give up his number 23 to Jimmy. And now he's on the Brooklyn Nets, and he's got to give up his number 13 to James Harden. Victor Oladipo is in Houston right now, but he doesn't plan on staying there, probably going to Miami at the end of the season. There's still a chance that Houston might even trade him before March's trade deadline. Multiple teams have expressed interest in P.J. Tucker. Damian Lillard thinks Caris LeVert is going to take off in Indy. No one's talking about the Cavs and how they're getting all these centers, including Jared Allen, for literally almost nothing. Sean Marks said he talked to the media earlier today. He said he has spoken to Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving is excited to come back and play. I'm calling all the lies on that one. But, Gary, this is what I just ran up on. What Houston was asking from Miami for James Harden, they wanted 4 pick swaps, 2 first-round picks, salary filler, Kendrick Nunn, Precious Achiuwa, and Duncan Robinson, and Tyler Hero. They wanted all of that.
What do they think? They think Pat Riley is, like, lost it?
They were asking for a lot.
I'm happy to watch what's going to happen with the Nets.
I am, too.
I will grab my popcorn, and I will be amused. They're going to win a lot of 160 to 150 type games.
Yeah.
But I think there's something not right with Kyrie, and maybe this was insurance in adding James Harden. Do you feel like, I know you follow both of them, but the NBA has 2 really good insiders. The NFL has insiders. Major League Baseball, Jeff Passan, Ken Rosenthal are like the 2 frontline insiders when it comes to Major League Baseball, but not everybody knows their names.
Right.
You know, in the NFL, you know Schefter and Albert Breer, some of the other guys that'll break stories, Jay Glazer. But Shams and Woj are the 2 one-name guys in the NBA.
Yep.
I know you follow both of them. I follow both of them. But do you feel like you're cheating on one because you follow both? You get what I'm saying? Because Woj beat Shams by 8 seconds yesterday in delivering the news of this trade. Do you feel like you're cheating on one of the insiders because you follow both of them?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. There's times where, because Woj is the OG. He's the one. He was the first one. There are times where Shams will break a story. I'm like, oh, okay. He's got him there.
Yeah, they have a battle between each other.
They do.
You're paid good money by your respective organizations to break stories and to not have fat fingers.
Get it right.
So that you are, or you're tweeting like immediately.
Wow.
So do you feel like you cheat on him?
At
the end of the day, pick one, George.
No.
Which one do you like?
Give me Shams.
Why?
What
are you getting against Woj?
Nothing against Woj. I feel like Shams comes out with a little bit more information following up. Woj will come out with his story. He'll post it and that kind of stuff. In regards to tweeting, Shams will give you a little bit more information tweeting-wise.
One has a bomb. The other has... See what I'm saying?
Oh,
has anybody alerted James Harden what the state of New York and New York City tax rate is?
Probably not.
Okay, just checking. Or maybe alerted Nets fans to remember what it was like in 13 when they acquired Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry.
This is a little bit different.
You know who's next? Bradley Beal. He hasn't requested a trade out of Washington, but he would seem the superstar, especially with Russell Westbrook going down, that Bradley Beal would be the next up to say, peace, I'm out.
Oh, man. He should.
And he would be – I don't think he would get the return that Harden got, but he would get a fair amount. I mean, he's having a fantastic year, including a 60-point effort.
I saw a stat over the weekend that the Wizards are like 0-9 when Bradley Beal scores over 40 points in a game. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. And Russell Westbrook's going to be out for about 3 or 4 weeks with a quad injury. So Bradley Beal's, you know, same old story, just in Washington by himself for the next month.
Well, I'll give you one about Aaron Rodgers in the playoff. You like little nuggets here, and this is for your Packers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is 10-1 in the postseason when the defense allows less than 37.
Oh, wow.
They're 0-6 when they allow more than 37.
Get your act together.
And he's lost 3 times in overtime where those 3 times he's never touched the football.
Never touched the football. Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right. Good luck to everybody that's going to root against Brooklyn. I'm right there with you. We finally have the evil empire.
You know what it does? It kind of frees up Houston for me because I love DeMarcus Cousins. I like his game. John Wall's one of my favorite point guards in the league. And Victor Oladipo, good dude all around, frees up Houston for me. I'm excited to see Houston.
There's
play.
Part of me that I'm okay with what the Nets did because the NBA is an all-in league. Teams will mortgage their future to win right now. And this only, you know, you got guys, all of these guys, I believe, I mean, they're in prime. What, Kevin Durant and Kyrie, or no, Harden and Durant are 31, Kyrie's 28, but they're all free agents after 23.
Yes.
So your window now is pretty short that the only way this works with what you gave up is you have a ring.
Yep.
And I think if I'm a Nets fan, I would feel that way.
Yeah.
If I get one ring, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But then we get greedy. I'm a Cubs fan. I wanted more than just 16. I want more than just 19 with the Chiefs. All right. Here is Andrew on the Dingman's Collision Center hotline. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Do you think I with the quarterback coach situation, and you said maybe that's some eyes to look at, and maybe, you know, get improvement on that side.
Mm-hmm.
If you would bring in another quarterback's coach, would that take Frost out of his input, and would he let the quarterback coach pick the quarterback? Or is he always going to have a hand in that?
Oh, I think he will. I think he will always have a hand, Andrew, in who the starting quarterback is.
Do you think he can? I mean, I haven't seen Logan Smothers or any of that. How close is Logan Smothers to Martinez talent-wise?
Not far off, but Adrian's got, you know, the abundance of games playing at the Division I level. But Smothers will get plenty of opportunities during the spring. They do like him. They have a lot of faith in him. I would have liked to see him maybe a little bit against Rutgers. But I think we're going to need to see him a lot during the spring.
And is possibly moving Luke to Wandell's position a realistic chance or not?
It depends on what Luke thinks his future is at Nebraska, Andrew. If he wants to be a quarterback, he wants to be a wide receiver, but you think that he maybe would be better at wide receiver, how does he handle that?
Okay, thank you for the information.
Hey, Andrew, thank you. Let's do a little scenario here, because a lot of you are saying, well, why don't they just hire a full-time special teams coach? Okay, you'd have to create a position. You'd have to have an opening. So if you have a departure, then you have an adjustment of responsibilities. Anybody leaving on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, are you saying, hey, I don't think we need two linebacker coaches. Let's just combine. You coach the outside and inside guys. I don't think anybody's leaving on the defense. Hey, defense is the place to be. Defense is good right now in Nebraska. I mean, you feel good. A lot of optimism, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of, man, you guys, that's a fun place to play. So we're all looking at the offense. You're going to open a spot for a full-time guy. Are you combining wide receivers and tight ends? Probably not. Are you combining head coach quarterback? Head coach played quarterback. He knows that position. Is he the quarterback coach as well? So it's not that easy. You'd have to make some movement. But I think any, like this decision, and Mitch Sherman from The Athletic has talked to Jonathan Rutledge. He tweeted this out. This is Mitch's tweet. Talked to Jonathan Rutledge, Nebraska's departing senior special teams analyst. He said he struggled at times to organize special teams without directly coaching his players. But he has a lot of respect for Scott Frost and the Nebraska assistants. And Mitch saying that he will have more up on this story a little bit later. During a pandemic, I could see why this would be difficult. You got here, you didn't get a spring football to get to know guys or to put guys in particular situations. Essentially, all you did during the offseason then was scout film, see who would be a strength, who would be a possibility to play on special teams. And I'm just trying to put two and two together from this comment to Mitch, is you didn't get the opportunity to have full special teams practices, limitations on protocol, limitations on meetings, more of an urgency to get guys ready to play their respective positions. That could have all factored in. And then as the season moved along, maybe something else happened. Maybe it just wasn't a fit. Okay. We're all grown people here. It's a business. You move on. That's why I keep saying, about the head coach. The head coach knows this program. He should. Knows every guy in it. You head up special teams and you pass the duties around. Everybody takes a hand in special teams. I mean, it's not easy being a special teams coach because there are a lot of moving parts and those aren't your guys. You don't have guys that are dedicated special teams players. You have to share. You have to be a great communicator. You have to be willing to adapt. And you have to be willing to sell, or the ability to sell, hey, how important special teams are. I know you got this stud linebacker, man. Nico Cooper, he wants to play linebacker for you. But you know what? Nico Cooper can be an absolute monster on special teams. That's not an easy job. Even from as a full-time guy and probably even more as an analyst when you're dealing with essentially no spring football and a pandemic where now we got to go, season's on, we got to get guys coached up to play the particular positions. So I'm sure there is more to this, and we will see. It has been a flurry of news this week. I will be solely disappointed if we get nothing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, that would not be the way to end this week. We want more. You get one, you want another. You get a transfer, you're wondering, what's Nebraska doing? They haven't had a guy transfer to the program since Tuesday. You want to talk about guys leaving? What's going on? Nebraska hasn't had a guy leave since Monday. What about coaching? Got a guy on Thursday. Well, what are we doing on Friday? Will we get one of those on Friday? Maybe. Maybe. That's what we call in the business a tease. All right. Big thanks to everybody that joined us today on this Thursday. Tomorrow, a lot of football. It's not technically a football Friday, but we will walk through the four divisional games, and who knows, Urban Meyer. Who would have thought Urban Meyer would be in the NFL with Jacksonville and James Harden would be in Brooklyn? More likely to happen. Probably James Harden in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll take a look ahead to the weekend in the NFL coming up tomorrow. When you rejoin us, we'll talk to USC coming next for all of our great guests, Jacob Padilla, Brody Darren, and George Norwood for hanging in there today because he's still distracted by the NBA. His phone is ablaze. He's got friends texting him.
Mark Davis just bought the Las Vegas Aces.
The owner of the Raiders.
Yeah.
Bought the WNBA team.
That just came down.
Okay.